but it's not that I don't care, so. Cause I hear it all the time, but they never let you know on the TV and the radio. She was young, her heart was pure, but every night it's bright she got. She said she sugar sweet, she got me rapping to the beat, then I knew that she was hot. She was singing, don't turn around.
Welcome back. All right. Let me just finish this real quick, if I may. So context, the Kenosis thing, just to wrap this up, this you know, is a sort of representation of the dishonesty that we face. This is in a, I acknowledge, this is in probably what would some would call like an eclectic corner of the dishonesty that we face. What about all of the electioneering and all of that? Yeah, it's so frustrating and overwhelming. It's hard to even approach it, which is, again, why I appreciate folks like John Stossel doing what he does in a very calm, level-headed, even-keel manner, when it's easy to feel like, you know what, I don't want to be calm about this. So to finish this context, Ephesians chapter 1, you know, this is in contrast to the whole kenosis discussion. There's really, you know, to cherry pick this Greek term out of Philippians 2:7 and say that this is somehow representative of the nature of Christ is, you know, and then use that in a broader propaganda campaign, which I won't even get into right now, but is a very diabolical thing, and it's easily debunked. That's the thing, you know, for people that think they're so smart, it's mind-boggling how silly the entire argument is on the face of it. These are the same people that want to argue, well, you know, in the harmony of the Gospels, I mean, what about, you know, this point, let's see, only in 2, this point only in 3, this, where is it in these other 3? You have one verse that you're building a theological case on with this idea of kenosis, this mystical interpretation of this nonsense. Anyway, not to belabor the point more, but, you know, Ephesians 1, speaking of the context, and this, there are numerous, you know, there are those of us who would argue that every book of the Bible speaks to the nature of Christ, and that all of creation indeed speaks, because you have evidence of looking for it in John chapter 1 and Romans chapter 1 and so on and so on, without getting into that too. And again, further digressing. So Ephesians 1, I mentioned 9 through 11 in the end of hour 1. So Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. Again, this is just the straightening of the error, the misrepresentation and misappropriation of context of Philippians 2:7 and this contextualizing of the Greek term kenosis. So Ephesians 1:19 through 23, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? These are all in the King James, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I mean, this is pretty specific language. and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I mean, that's pretty specific language, I would say. Colossians 1:19 and 2:19. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. 2:19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourished, ministered, and knit together, increased with the increase of God. A little bit of context, but more specifically speaking of, so back to the Philippians 2 context. It's Philippians 2:7. What is the context? What surrounds this cherry picking of kenosis to make a point that is not legitimate? Philippians 2:1-11. Again, if you'll indulge me, I'll finish this thought here. Philippians 2:1-11 gives the context that Philippians 2:7 should be read in, and there's no doubting. But, you know, this is, again, it's representative of the same kind of dishonesty that is epidemic throughout the land today in America. You know, Larry sends me the Chris Hedges quote, for example, and, you know, mentioned it before. We now live in a nation where doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the press destroys information, and our banks destroy the economy. And all under the specious guise of, you know, helping the Inflation Reduction Act, for example, does what? The opposite of reducing inflation. It's all of this Orwellian inversion. Right out in plain sight. So what do you do? I agree with Vody Bachum in his conversation with Glenn Beck that, you know, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 is the order of the day as far as that's concerned. Anyway, Philippians 2:1-11 for the context of verse 7 and the concept of kenosis and the you know, who is Jesus really? So, without further ado, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, you know, like the affection, basically, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Does this mean that you can't do these things, that you can't do the opposite? No, that's why this is being said, because we can do these other things. Be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, that kind of thing. I always think of gentle as, you know, gentle as bridled strength, not harmless, because harmless means you can do no harm, per se. But gentle is bridled strength. So let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What a concept. Does this make for peace? Absolutely. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Why? What is the point of saying this? What does this have to do? Next verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Ah, okay. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Here's that verse. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Okay, there's that verse. Now what comes after? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the context. So I think to cherry pick one Greek term in that broader context is insane, quite frankly. I mean, it's a complete denial of the context of the passage. But this is the kind of dishonesty that we see all around us. And I think to point that out and to straighten those crooked parts and to, you know, just to help, you know, encourage folks to return to that kind of solid footing, I agree with Whitney Webb in the discussion with Glenn Beck that people who don't know who they are or where they stand are more easily manipulated. And so if you want to engineer a populace like that, that you can just keep sort of pushing around, don't we all feel shoved these days? Don't we all feel like we get at least the metaphorical hands in the chest on a regular basis? I will say that I do. Like I said, listening to folks like Alan Lichtman as, you know, genuine as he may think himself, it's dishonest. And then there are those who are actually weaving webs on purpose and being dishonest on purpose. But, you know, it can all be upsetting. And when you live in a society that is just captivated by this social justice nonsense and redefining of everything. Why Marx? Why so much Marx? Because that's the way you burn society down. You unleash the nihilists and the atheists and say everything has to go in a radical fundamentalist sort of way. And then you engineer this chaos. And then as you're doing that, you condemn anyone who says, whoa, hold on a minute. Hold on. Let's not get carried away. I understand we might have problems, but let's talk about the problems. Let's not get carried away here. No, you have to condemn them so that you can destroy everything. Who wants to destroy everything? To make a new thing. So as far as I see it, what I just described, what I just sort of outlined, like I said, it's the ventilation shaft in the Death Star. This is the epicenter of the discussion of Western esotericism, and particularly the subject of prayer, or the lack thereof, to combat it. That's what's missing almost all the time. And, you know, I also agree with Vodi Bakum's point about the true remnant, so to speak, they're not televised. That part of the revolution is not televised, which is fine. So, you know, to those who, I don't know, have ears to hear, I guess, take heart and know that you are not alone and that all is not lost. So, to the phones we go. Lynn in Maryland, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. I'll only take a minute because I don't want to get you off topic. I wanted to apologize for last Friday. I am so sorry. I'm sorry I was so disrespectful. And there was no excuse. And I wanted to let you know that. Please forgive me.
I definitely forgive you. And I don't feel like you need to apologize. But if you feel that way, yeah, I definitely forgive you.
Well,
no harm done.
I know I need to, because you put a lot of time and effort. I mean, clearly, a lot. You spend a lot of time preparing for your program, and I really, really do appreciate you very much. And I thank God, and I especially appreciate today And I thank Jesus for you. And I think that it works in your life so well. So thank you, Chris. And thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Toodaloo. Thanks for calling, Lynn.
Thank you, Chris. Bye. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Yeah, no apology needed, but definitely, if you feel that way, absolutely. Forgiveness is the order of the day. So, this is the way things should be. I mean, imagine if we were all, there was a time, wasn't there? Is it me or wasn't there a time? I guess signs of age. I am in my 50s now, which is a very strange thing as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, there was a time about 50 years ago that we were raised to be respectful of one another. We weren't just completely sucked into this solipsistic orbit. It is like an orbit with a gravitational pull. I know that's, you know, again, a crude analogy, but people seem incapable of escaping it. When you're a child who receives a technology device and a social media account at an age, formative age, you know, and Simon Sinek has some great points along those lines, and you get addicted to this feedback loop, what is the probability that you will ever escape it? And, you know, again, back to this issue of the Bible, not to sort of harp on this, but God is the miracle maker. He's the miracle maker. And who can break that? You know, if you don't have the outside influence or whatever you want to call it of that miracle making power, then it's all about odds, the statistical odds and probability and what is the likelihood? And in that case, forget it. Chances are you're not going to break that feedback cycle. And, you know, even if you try to, you won't get far from it. So, you know, again, I have said for years that we've been running on spiritual fumes. We've sort of been getting by. And now it's interesting, you know, Vodi Bakum in that conversation with Glenn Beck made some interesting points. And I want to come back to that. I think there's some interesting stuff in there. And you know, again, not to harp on this kind of stuff, but this broadcast is supposed to do something unique, offer something unique, in my opinion, to discussions. There are a lot of interesting, informative folks and broadcasts on this network. And so, you know, hopefully this is something that sheds a unique light. I think I have a perspective in bringing the biblical side of things together with the esoteric intrigue that has been operating. If you watch the movie Metropolis or read the book, I mean, it's a silent movie. If you read the book, you get a flavor of what I'm talking about very clearly. Why is the setting in no time? Is it ancient? Is it future? No, it's every age and no age. It's Genesis 11. That's what it is. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
This has been going on for a long time. I mean, you know, you can argue, you know, there's a certain amount of coincidence. Don't read too far into things. And I would agree. You know, but it's interesting. The video, the commercials that I see, for example, when I'm trying to watch, you know, one of these videos, I mean, all of the now streaming on Gaia, the Sacred Geometry commercial and all these kinds of things, or the, like I said, the C.S. Lewis, Hillsdale College course, or this is all the kind of Western esotericism that I'm talking about. So this has been going on for a long time. Again, the Hellenistic influence, I would call it the Hellenizing influence. And you know, speaking of the thing, maybe we'll play a little bit of the clip. Kind of a response to, you know, the conversation, Glenn Beck and Vody Bachum and the FACE Act stuff and what's been happening recently after 2 years. remember Alan Watt talking about the harbinger of the black uniform change in the law enforcement community? Kids, you don't know this, but the uniforms weren't always black. Speaking of, you know, being 50 years old, they were blue or khaki. Remember, remember Mayberry? You can still watch that on some of those old TV channels. You know, Andy didn't carry a gun and Barney got one bullet, as John in Tennessee reminds us. So the uniforms weren't black and officers were known as peace officers, not law enforcement officers. What is law enforcement? So who can't look at an all-black SWAT-looking tactical uniform and see that it doesn't line up with the back the blue memetic warfare slogan? And for that matter, I mean, there is a brutalist element in society that's all around us. Is it me or, you know, young man doing the weather? Your suit doesn't fit. When you have your one button done on your suit and your suit is screaming around that one button, looks like the button's just ready to pop off. It wants to give and run away. Your clothes don't fit. And you see the same thing in the uniforms of, you know, sheriff's deputies and police officers. They don't fit. You get all that stuff underneath. It can't be comfortable. What's that going to do? Do you think that's going to irritate a person over time? So there is a brutalist influence that, again, it's like the green stuff. It's being recycled. You're not ready for it now? We'll put it in the drawer for 20 years, and next generation will pull it back out. So, you know, we have this minimalist, reductivist kind of stuff going on. It's just smart. It's neat. It's intelligent. It's uncomfortable. It feels brutal, like the term implies. So, again, that is sort of the meta abstraction layer of what is going on around us that we're not supposed to believe. You can't find clothes that fit anymore. Isn't it weird? You know, they're labeled one size, but that's not the size they are. Ladies, can I get a witness? I mean, what happened? It's a peculiar thing. But we're not supposed to talk about it or notice. It's not really happening, except it's happening all around us. And again, ironically, you will notice that the philosopher kings don't seem to suffer these plagues. They live an Epicurean life, and their clothes fit. It's amazing. They don't parade out in weird, you know, Tim Burton kinds of outfits or whatever. They're neatly dressed, neatly appointed, and their clothes fit. Isn't that funny how that works? Stick around. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back. All right. To the phones. Back to the phones. Larkin, Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
Well, you know, I have to say, you taught me a new word today, kenosis.
Right on.
And I think that's a good thing. Only yesterday, I was knee-deep in real looking into this word immanence, which I'm sure you're familiar with. Immanence, I-M-M-A-N, I guess, is it E-N or A-N-C-E? Immanence. It's E-N-C-E.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also reminded that there's such a thing as kinesis, mm-hmm. which is essentially nonverbal communication. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to connect some dots together to see how it is the communitarians are going to play the language so as to bring people to conformity. You know, this theory of everything, the oneness of it all, and such claptrap as that. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about how the communitarians, whether they label themselves as such or not, is beside the point. They bend the language.
Yeah.
I mean, and notice how they adopted this word lockdown of recent, last mm-hmm. couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, that's borrowed directly from prison parlance.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, speaking of the dishonesty, part of what I'm trying to, you know, what is sort of implicit in speaking to the dishonesty is, again, to sort of open the window or open the door and let the fresh air in, because the gaslighting makes you feel like you're lacking oxygen and, you know, you're fighting for air. And I'm just trying to say, in part, don't expect honesty from, you know, the philosopher kings, for example. And I would even go so far as to say, and I think you would probably agree with this, that whether you are in on it, so to speak, or whether you're just an academic or whatever who is sort of going along to get along and maybe got a little bit of notoriety or whatever, you can expect dishonesty from all of them, because it's part of job security, basically. If you're going to be a part of that community, and if you're going to keep striving to reach upward, so to speak, and climb the social ladder, then you will, you know, you will do as the Romans do.
Yeah, I'm also inspired by
words. You can't be honest.
Yeah. I'm inspired by words of those Israeli epidemiologists in core values, styled as one word. And the quote from Arthur Koestler, you know, wars are not fought for territory, but for words, you know. And then a gentleman by the name of Heschel says that Auschwitz was not built with stones, but with words.
Yeah, and it's interesting what David Irving has to say about those words.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
And if he's such a vile person, why do we have to ban him from countries? If he's just a crazy person, why don't we let him prove himself crazy?
Yeah, in the last several months, I signed up for some of these email lists of these people involved in interfaith dialogue. Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, etc. And I'm following along the conversations as best I can here and there as they appear. And this morning in my email box, you've got these Jewish people that are promoting Tikkun Olam. And the question in my inbox was Luke Jewish? So I thought, I need to ask Chris that or look into it further myself before I bother him. You know, was Luke Jewish? And anyway, I don't want to belabor the point, but I wanted to drop those words imminent. And this thing called kinesis, which I think is very close to, or that there is, I think there's a correlation between your introducing me to this word kenosis. Or, again, I'm looking for ways to head these, I call them the bastards, spelled with a Y, off of the pass. Call their bluff, call them on their bullshit, if you will. Because I see more and more people being sucked into this communitarian trap. You know, I still get emails fairly regularly from the Foundation of Intentional Community, because there's everybody is jumping on this bandwagon of parallel economic systems, parallel societies, as a way to avoid this enveloping slime mold, some have called. And of course, a lot of these same people are embracing Bitcoin and this kind of stuff. And it really just infuriates me because, I mean, talk about welcoming your own enslavement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the geofencing and the lockdowns and the social credit scoring.
So,
and
you know,
everything else, your reputation capital.
So, speaking of that, gosh, where is that? Oops, not there. I got an email the other day, and if I can find it real fast, that dovetails with this. Yeah, I think it was this one, wasn't it? Yeah. So when I was talking about conflict thesis and continuity thesis, this was actually Friday. There's an email that a student apparently forwarded to a family member, and the email is for a survey the University of Idaho is running, apparently, and having students circulate this propaganda and research, Bernaysian kind of research, and it's run through Qualtrics, which is an interesting portmanteau, Qualtrics. And they are the leading purveyors of this thing they call XM, or experience management. And so the irony is, to your point, that when you understand what's going on here, these kids have been indoctrinated to provide, tell the propagandists exactly how they can be manipulated, or the panopticon operator, or whatever, exactly how best I can be manipulated. And it doesn't stop there. They circulate this stuff far and wide. Hey, grandma. Hey, grandpa. Hey, aunt so-and-so, uncle so-and-so. Could you please fill this survey out so that they can, we can tell them how best to manipulate us. And so, when it comes to all these devices and stuff, the whole nothing to hide, nothing to fear argument is a limited hangout. I think the broader concern, as you have pointed out, certainly in this context, is all of that data is being used to scientifically engineer methods to manipulate you in ways that you do not understand. It is psychological warfare at the highest level, and just because you can't feel it, or perceive it, or don't see the operation, behind the scenes, does not mean it's not happening.
Absolutely. By the way, the title of this, and I'm going to be forwarding this on to you as well, it's simply titled Sustainability in Community. And it begins, "Hello, fellow communitarian. This week at number 8 in our countdown of the top 10 ways Foundation for Intentional Community has impacted the intentional community's movement this past year, we're talking about sustainability. And then when you read through the email, you see all the familiar buzzwords. And we know about some of the history that is still unfolding of cybernetics. And there's cybernetic engineering, cybernetic warfare, and there's mimetic engineering and mimetic warfare. And so what are people, what do these closed loop systems need in order to gain not only favor, popularity in amongst the populace, but it requires your biological input.
Big data and a nerd population who is feckless and helpless and cannot take care of themselves.
And that's why I've been, you know, really saddened to see, you know, within the past, you know, 20 years, this, see, this problem of internet technology and artificial intelligence and augmented reality and the like is that, you know, the one thing that we stand to lose more than anything else is property, a claim to ownership of any property, including the right to
own your mind and your own body. Well, I would argue from a biblical standpoint, personally, that what does it profit a man that he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will he give in exchange for soul? That's what I would say, but I understand
your
point.
I think that's well put. That's well said. But, you know, the gateway to loss of property is this casual acceptance of violation of privacy. So if you don't have privacy, that means that you have encroachment. And then when it's codified in the so-called law with ordinances, statutes, and regulations, and rules, and everything else, you have to ask is if everything that is serving as what we call loosely law in this world, is it really about our enslavement? Is law just actually legalized slavery?
Well,
that's something
I
brought up
11
years ago.
Yeah, depends on who you ask and who's defining terms. That's a broader discussion. We have other calls, but you know, property, there's also the issue of responsibility. You know, Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, and the property is theirs, but they sell it, and then they say they're going to do a thing and they don't do it. And it's interesting, you know, what kind of, I don't know, stewardship comes along with that, and I don't know, a view to what, you know, I always think of Jefferson saying, the earth belongs in usufruct to the living. Anyway.
Yeah, it's great. It's nice to have these grand pronouncements and these words that resonate with us, but then we have to look at reality. And as I see it, we are gleefully embracing our oppressors and our enslavers.
Well, we are not without recourse, as Vodi Bakum said and others have said. You know, Joe Biden and other folks say democracy was on the ballot, but I think we do have recourse. And I think, you know, I don't know, there's a lot of, seems like there's a lot of wringing of hands. I think we need to, I don't know, focus more on what we can be doing. Or, you know, like, you know, I made the point, have I done all I can do? And I think Glenn was prescient when he said, have I done anything? I think there's, you know, I know some really well-informed folks who probably should be sharing with more people than they are. It's you know, these are scary times, I think, and it's easy to retreat to an echo chamber of reinforcement and affirmation. But, you know, I applaud the courage of folks like John Stossel, who I don't think he's just trying to speak to the YouTube subscribers of this channel. I think he's trying to reach out more broadly and, I don't know,
Yeah, I would agree with that. I want to leave you with this so you can get on to your other callers. But a gentleman in Portland, Oregon, by the name of Ken Dost, spelled D as in David, O-S-T, Ken Dost. He has a Facebook page. He's been interviewed on this network. But he is pretty well-versed in trademark, patent, and copyright law. And like everything about the internet is about someone else's real estate. And the reason they're getting away with what they're getting away with these big media pathway channels like Facebook and Google and Amazon and everything else, because, I mean, you're on their territory. You're on their property. Again, Ken Dost, D-O-S-T, trademark, patent, and copyright law. And what's happened in those specialized types of law with the advent of the and the embrace of the internet is changing everything in the world in which we inhabit. Mm. So anyway, thanks for allowing me to weigh in today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Much appreciated as always.
Bye-bye.
When it comes to the word imminent, which one are we talking about? Imminent. Anyway, discussion for another day. Back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, I was just trying to go over through the archives and get to your show page. Do you have contact info, do you know, on the Republic Broadcasting page for your show?
I think so.
Like an email? Okay.
But I don't know for sure.
Well,
I give it to you.
Yeah, I can get it from the archives. Let me get a. Got a piece of paper over here stuck to the table.
RWR host at THERWR.com.
It went by too quick. My piece of paper I was going to write this on stuck to the table. It wouldn't move. All right,
RWR host. Road Warrior Radio host. RWR host at THERWR.com. You know, it's the final moments of today's broadcast, but I will say I have been terrible in responding lately in particular. And stuff comes from all kinds of places now. You know, there's, I don't know. It's my fault, but I'm to everyone.
Well,
I will try to be
if I can't find it or
diligent.
If you can't find it. There was a show on Sunday that went through, you mentioned Hellenistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it went through all of these, just machine gun through all of these examples of Christianity and how their thing was, their accusation was that Christianity was copycatting a bunch of sun religions, you know, from ancient Egypt through,
right.
You know,
when
the Hellenistic
reality,
theory.
The opposite is true.
Well, and that's what I was going to try to point out a little bit. You know, you were talking about the astronomical improbabilities or, you know, probabilities you mentioned. And I would encourage anybody that has not personally witnessed an eclipse to try to get the one that's coming up in, I think it's going across Indiana, Ohio. I had some believers go with me to Tennessee to see that one. And believe me, it was like pulling teeth. Oh, we could see it up here. And I'm like, no, it's not totality. And I said, you just, you know, when you start looking around, and there's some country songs about this, you know, if you think there's no God, just start looking around. And, but they don't, I don't think you realize the astronomical improbability of the Goldilocks spot in the universe that we're at until you see one of those total eclipses and you realize, wow, the interplay here of a sun that is 400 times bigger than that moon, which is 400 times closer, and it only does it ever so often. Maybe about once every 18 years in any given region of the planet can you see one of these.
To borrow from the empiricists, the radical empiricists, if we're going to, you know, listen to our lying eyes and ears, I agree with Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. So that,
well, at the same time,
they're without excuse. It's the evidence is all around us.
The Christians
that
do
we
not
can't
observe. Real, though. At the same time, these people are trying to seek for a sign all the time. And
yeah,
were we not warned?
First Corinthians,
you know,
1.
Why does this wicked generation seek for a sign? No sign will be shown except for the sign of Jonah. You know, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth. But, you know, they're looking for all these, you know, the blood moons and all this stuff. And the blood moons have happened. NASA can track those multiple times throughout history, the tetrads. But I guess we're out of time. I had more, but I'll let you go. There was, like I said, there was a thing on Sunday that I thought you might want to snapshot listen to and then maybe answer for some of that. Just machine gun through to all these different, I picked apart part of it myself. But anyway, I'll talk to you soon, maybe.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
Much appreciated. Yeah, I mentioned 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22 in particular, because, I mean, again, you know, it's a Gnostic influence. In the interest of time, back to the phones. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
There, hi there, Chris.
Yeah, Brian.
Ingram High School in Seattle had a shooting recently. The kiddies are going to do a walkout to talk about guns. You have this neighbor, Aman Jabi. We put his PowerPoint in your chat room. I know you said you've been negligent on getting back to emails and the like.
Yeah.
Busy, we all are. And Aman just got back from his sick mother in India. But he's back there in your neck of the woods. I'm asking if you had a day this week, possibly, that we could devote 2 hours to have him call in at the beginning of the broadcast and we could discuss my concern about facial recognition. I know you were accused by Pat in Texas of being a technocrat last week. Would you be up for allotting 2 hours to this technology nightmare with Aman?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Could you pick a day and we can set it in stone?
How about whatever works best for him?
Very good, sir.
Sure.
We will email you with a confirmation.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks, Brian. Much appreciated. And that will do it for today's broadcast, obviously. I hope it was informative. Hang in there. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Barron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.